I'm going to try really, really hard to get this in before the heat wave hits us here. Our little air conditioner is running as fast as it can, but it was run over by the heat about an hour ago. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Won't you guys bow your heads with me, please? Lord God, we just come before you. We thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you that you're sovereign and that it's not an accident that we're here in this place in this moment. And I believe with all my heart, God, that you want to speak to each one of us. You want to connect with each one of us today in a very powerful, very life-transforming way. So Holy Spirit, come, speak, reveal to us, convict, whatever it is that you need to do, Lord, to reach us, to help us, to bless us. And so God, I just thank you right now for what you are about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing today the teaching series that we started entitled God at the Movies, where we're looking at recent movies that have come out, popular movies, and we're looking for spiritual truths within those movies. And I don't know about you, I really love movies. And I don't watch as many movies as I used to, but I still really, really enjoy watching movies. And no matter what movie I watch, I'm always looking for God. I'm always looking for spiritual truths within movies that I see. And that's really what inspired this whole series. But two disclaimers. I always give these disclaimers. The first disclaimer is this: I am not. Repeat, I am not endorsing any of the movies that we cover during the series. Okay, so don't go out and rent the movie just because Pastor Cedric showed, you know, talked about it or whatever. I'm not endorsing any movies. But along that lines, I don't cover any R-rated movies because I don't personally watch R-rated movies. Second disclaimer, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movies that I cover, I'm probably going to mess it up for you. No nasty emails, letters. Don't pull me aside afterwards, you know, and rebuke me. All right, so two disclaimers about this series. Last quick review. Last week, we talked about the question of how do we live as Christians within the culture that we live in today. I shared with you how I found that many people know a little bit or even a lot about Christianity, but few people that I've encountered know how to actually apply what they know to Christianity. Very, very, very few people know how to apply it. They may know about it, but they don't know how to apply it. And so the message last week was entitled Without Words, and the movie that we looked at was called The Circle. And so within that movie, we really focused on the culture that we live in today, the belief that drives the culture that we're in, and that's humanism. The whole belief of everything I need is within me. I'm self-sufficient. And if I play my cards right, eventually, if I do things the right way, I will reach perfection within myself because it's already within me. I just have to get it out somehow. And I read you a quote from Warren Wiersbe. He said, "The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart." And how the Bible doesn't teach that we are perfect within ourselves. In fact, it's the opposite. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." And so if you really want to know what's in your heart, you have to ask God, because God's the only one that knows what's really in your heart. And so our focus was on how we live our lives. May I live my life to win people to the Lord. May my life speak of the person that I am, the choices that I make, the good that I do. May that speak to others that don't know people, that don't know the Lord. So that was our focus last week. This week, we got a new movie. This week, I want to talk to you about your likability. I want to talk to you about your likability. Because I think all of us enjoy it when someone likes us. Now, we may downplay it. You know, the whole Christian humility thing. Oh, you know. We may downplay it. We may say that it's really not all that important that people like us. Some of you may even use the, I'd rather be respected than liked. I always like that one. I'd rather be respected. That means no one likes you. But the truth is, I don't think any of us in this room would say, I want to be hated and rejected by everyone. No, we all enjoy and want to be liked. That's why you brush your teeth every day and take a shower.
Yeah.
And hopefully put on deodorant. And put on clothes before you leave the house. I don't think anybody goes, you know, I think I'll just quit that whole shower hygiene thing. And go to school, go to work naked. Because I don't care if people like me or not. You're kidding yourself if that's what you're thinking. The truth is that likability, here's a nugget for you, likability is directly connected to generosity. Likability is directly connected to generosity. There's spiritual principles at work here because of the laws of the harvest are at work within likability. We talk about these laws of the harvest in our membership class, you know, things like what you sow is what you reap, where you sow is where you reap, the measure you sow is the measure that you reap. We talk about how it's important to sow seed in every area of your life so that you get a harvest in every area of your life. You know, you want to sow kindness. You want to sow mercy. You want to sow love. You want to sow forgiveness so that you harvest all of those things because they come back to you. It's the laws of the harvest at work. And when we're generous, it comes back to us. Last week, all of us heard about Hurricane Harvey that, you know, is just the catastrophe of all the flooding in Houston and South Texas. There's a pro football player for the Houston Texans. His name is J.J. Watt. And he decided he wanted to do something to help. So he started an online fundraiser, and he donated $100,000 to start this fundraiser. His goal was to double that, $200,000. On Friday, this past Friday, the amount that had had been donated had already passed 15 million. So now he has a new goal of 20 million. He started with the first goal of 200,000. Now his goal is 20 million, and he's going to make it. He tweeted, as the outpouring of support surpassed the $14 million mark, thanking those who donated for their generosity. He also said he would leave the fund open and see how high the total can go. He said, the initial night of the fundraiser, we broke the website. We couldn't figure out how to get it back up, and we somehow found the CEO's phone number, called him at his house, and got him out of bed. He helped us fix the site, and it got rolling. Among those donating Friday was Arnold Schwarzenegger, who said he contributed $100,000 to the effort. And Schwarzenegger told him, you can set new goals because you are the champion, and I admire you. You are the best. The Houston Texans defensive end said he already has a plan of action to begin using the money to help those affected in flood-ravaged Houston. My first phase is what I'm doing this weekend. My teammates and I have semi-trucks rolling in from out of town that we filled up. We have about 9 semi-trucks that are going to come to town, and we have those all filled with stocks, supplies, water, food, clothing, everything. So we're going to give that out this weekend. I'm not just here for the initial fundraiser. I'm here to make sure that we take care of you down the road. So tell me, do you think J.J. Watt's likability has gone up at all this past week? Of course. Because likability is directly connected to generosity. Today's movie is entitled The Fate of the Furious. The Fate of the Furious. And I believe this is the 8th installment of this Furious genre of movies. In this one, the bad guy is actually a lady, a hacker named Cypher. And she blackmails Dominic Toretto into betraying his family to help her acquire weapons of mass destruction. And so Dominic's wife, whose name is Letty, and then their team of car racers, and now they're all spies for the government, they have to stop Cypher and also save Dominic in the process. What I want to do today is I want to show you 3 scenes from The Fate of the Furious, and I want to discuss 3 easy ways to increase your likability even this week. And all 3 involve generosity in the form of encouragement. Because that's really what our focus is today, is encouragement. So I'm going to show you 3 ways to encourage others. So let me set up the first scene. I've never done this before, so Lord help me. In this first scene, Dominic and his wife Letty are in Cuba on their honeymoon. They find out that Dominic's young cousin is in trouble because he's borrowed money from a loan shark and he hasn't been able to pay him back, so the loan shark is taking his car. So Dominic finds out about it, goes and to try to help him, and he ends up doing it is he challenges the loan shark to a car race, of course, and the winner take all. Wins both cars in this car race. So here's the first scene. Are you ready? All right, here we go.
Ah! Deal's a deal. You won my car. And you earned my respect. Keep your car. Your respect is good enough for me.
Now, what I couldn't show you is that right after that, he gave his car to his cousin. So here's the first way to encourage others, and that is meeting their needs. Meeting their needs. The reality, we talk about this all the time, there are needs all around you. All around you. And you can meet those needs in a lot of different ways. It could be giving someone a gift. It could be wiping out a debt for someone. It could be solving a problem that someone has. It could be finding a way to help them like Dominic did or J.J. Watt has done. The focus is on blessing people by doing good, by meeting needs that they know that they have. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 18, Paul says, "Command them," speaking of the church, "command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." I heard a really cool story about a teenager and his dad, and they're in line to buy tickets to go to the circus. And in front of them is this really, really big family with eight kids, and they're all probably under the age of 12. And they said, you know, it was pretty obvious that this family didn't have hardly any money at all, and somehow they had scraped together enough money to be able to take their kids to the circus. And they're in line, and he said that the kids are all just, you know, just so excited about getting to go to the circus, and he's overhearing all their conversations about, you know, what they think they're going to see, the clowns, the elephants, you know, all the animals, you know, they're pumped about it. And then the man with the father of the eight kids and his wife, they step up to the ticket counter, and they heard the man say, you know, "So how much are the tickets?" You know, and then when the ticket counter lady told him, the vibe changed bad. All of a sudden, the man's head went down. His wife started crying. They didn't have enough money. And they were put in that position of, how do we tell our kids that we don't have enough money, that we can't go? Well, this teenager, he said it, his dad heard it, and he reached in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it on the ground. And then he reached down and picked it up and tapped the man on the shoulder and said, sir, I think you dropped this." That man knew that money wasn't his. He turned around. The money handshake happened. You ever had that? Pressed that $20 bill in his hand, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Thank you. This means everything to my kids." When you meet other people's needs, you encourage them. Blessing others not only encourages people, but it glorifies God. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and then what? Glorify your Father in heaven." Blessing others. It's awesome. In Proverbs 11, beginning at verse 24, I wanted you guys to see this. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Generosity is a win-win. So here's an action step that I want to give you. I'm going to give you three action steps with this today. The first action step is this. Think this week of someone that you can encourage by meeting a need that they know that they have. I want you to think about and pray about this week. Who can I bless? Who can I meet a need that they have this week and encourage that person? Now I want to show you scene two. I don't have to set this one up. I just want you to see, check this out, and we'll talk about our next step to of encouraging others. Go ahead.
They are going to be hitting us with everything they got. So we want to engage with maximum speed, neutralize the shooters, and then move on to our objective. There's two things I want you to keep in mind. Number one, I chose you for this squad because you are the most fearsome warriors on the planet. And number two, you go out there, you do your job, and you take them down. Everyone, and I mean everyone. Manny's and Petty's at the mall later on today.
The next way to encourage others is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. I love that scene. This words of affirmation, I believe, is perhaps the most powerful factor in likability. Because the majority of offense that happens comes from the words that we say to each other. And the words that we say about each other. And though you can't take back what you've already said, you can choose today to start saying things that encourage people and bless people. And as you do that, you automatically increase your likability. Check out this quote from Benjamin Franklin. He said, I resolve to speak ill of no man whatever, not even in a matter of truth, but rather by some means excuse the faults I hear charged upon others, and upon proper occasions speak all the good I know of everybody. Let me translate that. I've decided I'm not going to speak bad about anybody. No matter what. Even if it's true, I'm not going to say it. But rather, if I hear something negative about someone else, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And whenever I do hear something positive about someone, that's the only thing I'm going to speak. Say amen or oh no. Amen. There's a woman who took a temporary job at a big corporation. And she took a pretty menial job for her education and everything. But she decided she was going to do her very, very best at the job, no matter what. It was a phone job. And as she started this job and as the days went on, she had the opportunity to get to talk to other employees in different branches of the corporation, but especially within the branch that she was in. And she could really feel the negativity of people talking about the new manager of the branch. And one day she decided, she was driving home from work one day, she felt like she really wanted to do something about it. So the next day, she started paying attention to every positive thing the manager said about anybody in the company. And she would call that person and tell them what she heard. The boss, I heard today the boss said, you're amazing at this, or you did a great job at whatever. Anything positive that she heard him say, she called that person and told them what he said. She said that at first, the people were surprised, and then they were thrilled to hear his high regard for them. So for months, she continued this campaign of passing positive comments. Good gossip, amen? And she kept all the negative things he said about people to herself. Pretty soon, that whole branch of the corporation began showing drastic improvement. Profits rose exponentially. The higher-ups in the corporation were noticing the manager and the people of that branch. He started employee reward programs, and pretty soon, everybody in the company loved that manager. The negative atmosphere had been transformed into one that was positive. First Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Words of affirmation, I believe, are probably the most powerful way to encourage people and to increase your likability. So here's the action step. Resolve this week to only spread good information that you hear about other people. Scene number three, last one. Go ahead, Adam.
Come on, get to cooking, buddy. Come on now.
All this fuss over you. Yes. Elena, I promised to keep our son safe. And now he always will be. Introduce you to the most important person in my universe. One who never gave up on me.
It's beautiful.
You've heard me say that you never turn your back on family. And I want to thank you all for never turning your back on me. You want to meet them? All right. Everyone, meet Brian.
Yeah. Brian.
Welcome to the family, Brian.
Okay, I guess it's my turn to say grace. We thank you for giving us family. We sit here and praise.
The third way to encourage is by not giving up on people. Not giving up on people. In the scene, in spite of Dominic's actions towards his family and his team, they somehow managed to give him the benefit of the doubt as long as they could. and they turned out to be right. I heard a story about Vince Lombardi, the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers, and one day at practice, it was a season that the Packers weren't doing very well, and there's a lot of frustration. And at one of the practices, Lombardi singles out this one big guy and gets in his face during practice and starts yelling at him and he says, "Son, you're a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not helping your team at all." He said, "And as a matter of fact, you're through here today. Go hit the showers." 45 minutes later, when practice finally ended, Lombardi comes into the locker room and the big guy is sitting in front of his locker. He still has his equipment on and he's crying. Lombardi walks up to him, puts his arm around him. He says, "Son, what I told you was the truth. You're a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not helping the team." He said, "But I should have told you the rest of the story, because I believe that you have the potential to be a great football player, and I'm going to stay by your side until you do." And in that moment, that big guy's head raised up, and Jerry Kramer became one of the all-time greats of NFL history, because his coach didn't give up on him. Not giving up on people encourages people. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where someone stood by you, hung in there with you, but it means the world. In Romans chapter 15, I'm getting ready to close here. In Romans 15, verses 4 and 5, I thought this was really, really interesting. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." Isn't it interesting that twice in those two verses, endurance and encouragement are linked together? Because endurance produces encouragement. When we hang in there with people, it produces encouragement. When we're patient with people, when we go the extra mile with people, it encourages them. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says that love always hopes, always perseveres, because endurance, patience, perseverance produces encouragement. So the last action step. Have you given up on someone? Are you ready to end a relationship? Have you stopped praying for someone because the situation just seems impossible and you just feel like you need to move on? Now you have to use wisdom here when it comes to this. So the next step is to resolve to pray this week about how God would have you proceed in that situation. Because we're often quick to end things. We're quick to end relationships. We're quick to end situations that we're in. But endurance produces encouragement. So I've given you three action steps today. Three ways to encourage others: meeting other people's needs, words of affirmation, and not giving up on people. I believe God is speaking to us in one of those or maybe all three of those areas today. Would you guys bow your heads? Lord God, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in our lives and that your word brings life. Your word brings freedom. That your word and your ways, Lord, actually produce the life that we all wish that we could live and that we can now because of you. So God, I pray you'll seal your word in our hearts. And this is the time for us to act upon what you've shown us. So God, I pray that you would do that now in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, I want to ask you if you're here and if you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, you've not established a true saving relationship with Jesus, you can do that today. You can make that decision today if you haven't done that. And so if you're here today and today's the day for you that you've decided that you will make that decision, that Jesus would be Lord and Savior, that you would surrender your heart, surrender your life, surrender everything to him. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand right now just to let me see so that I might pray with you and lead you in a prayer of faith. With every head bowed, has God spoken to you today? Has God revealed or challenged you or brought conviction upon your heart in any of the three areas that we covered today? Whether it's being a blessing to others, meeting other people's needs, whether it's words of affirmation, spreading the positive instead of the negative, or not giving up on people, not giving up on situations. But if God has spoken to you or challenged you, convicted you in one of these areas, and you believe God, you know that what God is saying is true and that you want to change in that area, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate? Amen. 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 Well, as always, this is between you and God. Take this time, take this moment, first of all, to agree with God. And then do whatever it is that he's called you to do. Whether it's one of these action steps or something else specific that God's called you to do. But agree with him and say yes. Say, yes, God, I will do that. Whatever it is. Father God, I just lift up every hand, every person that raised their hands right now. And Lord, I just ask that you will, by your grace and your power, move in their lives in a way that enables them to be victorious in whatever area they're facing and they're dealing with, God. Give them grace. Show them your mercy. Bless their lives, God. I pray that there'd be a tremendous harvest of goodness that would come into their lives as they are obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah.